out to everybody. And thank you all again so very, very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, es mi amigo, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here on a foggy day. It's kind of creepy out. We always talk about
The evil that lurks in the fog.
Yeah, when the fog rolls in, strange things start happening. I was thinking about that on my drive over to the studio today. It is foggy. Visibility is only like 100 yards, and it's just that low-hanging fog. Nobody's really doing much.
And it's not cold. It's that miserably warm fog weather.
Yeah, I'd say it's like 68, 72, something like that.
It just sucks.
But it's creepy. I was just thinking about it just when I was driving around at work before I left to come to Skeleton Studios. It's like, man, it is weird how many strange stories happen in and around the fog. And did the strange stories always happening in the fog? Is that what led Hollywood and always putting it into the movies? Or is it vice versa? You know, like art imitates reality.
I think it's always been something that people have feared.
I do too.
It feels like we've joked about before lots of times, but there is so much that revolves around the mist or the fog that it does seem like it's almost an entity in and of itself.
Yeah, you're right. You seen the movie The Fog?
Yes. The Mist. Yes.
Yeah.
They're all eerie.
They are.
They're all very, very eerie. I don't know. And I've never been like you can watch this like up along the East Coast or even like up, you know, along the upper West Coast when you see those giant fog banks come rolling in.
Yeah.
I've never witnessed that in person, and I would like to.
I have once when we were in Northern California a couple of years ago, and I've seen it on the water a few times off the coast of New Jersey. Like we were out fishing,
and it comes in.
And then it just comes in.
Oh, see,
and
I'd
it's
like
really
to see that.
Scary because you're like. The land is probably only like 3 miles away, but you can't see it. So now you're like, oh God, I'm going to be stuck out here. Here's how it ends, right?
This is where I have to go.
I'm
going to
go through a portal. Next thing you know, I'm in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Yeah.
How do the oceans change? Like, aren't they all connected?
It's just the ocean.
Yeah, right?
It's just our way of being
able
to find
it. Do you notice when you
cross
over from the Pacific into the Indian? I mean, is there like a floating line?
I notice. Yeah. I mean, it's cartographer, baby. I notice.
Speaking of Indians, check this story out. It says, my story comes from the Crow Indian Reservation of Montana. I was dating a Crow tribal man at the time. I'm not sure how the subject came up, but he shared several experiences with me about his and his family's encounters with what he calls the Sasquatch people. When he and his brothers were very little, they were playing in the woods when they saw some bushes rustling. They thought it was probably a skunk or a raccoon in the brush, and they started throwing rocks at it.
Uh-oh.
He said, suddenly, an enormous Sasquatch stood up and yelled at them.
That would be my luck, right?
It was the grandpa Sasquatch.
Yeah.
He was in there.
Stop throwing rocks!
Relieving himself or whatever, and you're throwing rocks at him. Anyways, it says it chased them, and they ran home as fast as they could. Looking back as an adult, he said it could have caught them at any time, but only seemed to want to scare them away and make them go back home. He joked it was rather like an elderly neighbor yelling at naughty kids to get off of his lawn.
Well done, Mr. Sasquatch.
He described it as being 8 to 9 feet tall, and he said it had white hair. He felt it was an elder. He said there were many sightings over the years, males and females, and in varieties of colors, but mostly brown and black. But there were a few gray and white ones. A brown female would often peek around a tree and look at the laundry on the line. She seemed curious. He said a fire came through the area and burned out the food sources that they ate. They moved on and they haven't seen signs of them since. They also have many stories of the little people, and sometimes they are seen along with the Sasquatch. Most of them will not talk about the little people, as it's considered disrespectful. And even bad luck. But there are stories of the little people helping the Crow. I won't repeat these stories out of the respect I have. Some of my Crow and Cheyenne friends on the reservations have had many Sasquatch sightings and UFO sightings. Maybe I can convince some of them to email you their personal experiences. I wish I had more details, but that's all I can remember about the stories. Now, my personal story happened near Nye, Montana. My friend and I wanted to pick the perfect spot after hiking in. We saw a wooded little island in the middle of the Stillwater River. It was so perfect. We waded out and set up our tent in a clearing between the trees. We had a lovely night. We chatted away, cooked some great food, and then went to sleep. I woke up in the morning to small pebbles hitting the side of our tent. Then something poked my side of the tent like a finger. It was close to the zip-up window, so I unzipped it just a crack to see what was outside. There was absolutely nothing. Yet something unseen continued to slowly poke at the tent. I poked my finger to the outside, then it would poke. Then it would poke to the top of the tent. I then would poke the top of the tent. I was not afraid, I was just more curious as to what this invisible being was. I didn't feel any malevolence from it, more like it was just playing a little fun game. This went on for several minutes, and then it seemed to get bored and eventually stopped. When my friend woke up, I told her what had happened. We looked all around the camp, and there was no clues, no prints, nothing disturbing, just a beautiful Montana morning with an odd experience. I'm Irish, and I grew up on the myths about fairies, giants, and other fae folk in Celtic legends. The fae, or the unseen people, can either be helpful and friendly or malicious depending on how humans interact with them by doing something that annoys them. They can be mischievous to outright dangerous at times. It makes me wonder if our ancestors actually knew the truth and we turned truth into mythology as we became civilized. I truly believe in the unseen people, not just the Sasquatch people, but probably many other beings. I have no idea what was poking at my tent. I should have been able to see something, but I could not. All I could see was that the tent fabric was being poked by an invisible finger. I don't know what type of being it was, but it let me know that it was there without revealing itself. Maybe someday we'll find the truth about the other people, or the good folk, as an Irish affectionately called them. Thanks for all you do, Jay. Wow. So, you know, this is a possible theory that we bring up all the time, is people think that the Glimmer Man sightings and stuff like that is Bigfoot has the ability to cloak itself. Or, you know, is it more fae-like, you know?
I still feel like I did. Like we always talk about, it's fae. It feels like it's all fae related in some way. And it's a broad brush, right? But it just feels like it.
It does, you know. And, you know, that's the thing is these Native Americans have this folklore, this history. And it's kind of like people just don't think, they think that they're just, oh, it's just a legend. Yeah. But why? Why is it discredited?
Well, I like the way it is like the truth could be turned into mythology. I like that little take on it like that. That's, I want to hear more Dwendy stories. That's what I want to hear.
That's going on right now. I'm recording this. There's some hogs out at the feeder.
Oh, he just got a picture on his camera. What a rascal.
Every time I'm here,
the phone goes
they're
off.
There.
They're there. That's right.
Every time I'm there, they're nowhere to be found, right?
Hey, Brad, you been to Stillwater, Oklahoma?
I have.
All right. Well, I got something that comes from up in that area that you're going to dig. A 12-foot-tall white creature.
Okay. Is he? Wow. Throw the basketball team, like OSU's basketball team or something?
12-foot. Do you know how handy that would be? A 12-foot tall dude. Could you imagine? Man, that's why you got to find those giants. We got to find some of those giants, bring them in to play ball. 12-foot tall white creature throws dead turtle at a driver near Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Really?
A dead turtle. Poor turtle. All right. Get a load of this. Says this event happened in April of 2021. I live in Yale, Oklahoma. My wife works in Stillwater as a nurse, and it was an early Saturday morning. My wife got called back into work, so I drove her and my 11-year-old grandson into town to drop her off. My wife was still very sleepy because she was supposed to, of course, be off this day. She quickly nodded off by the time we even made it to the highway. The sun hadn't come up yet, but it was light enough to make out certain things, and off to the right is a big grassy clearing, and there are several animals around this area. But something was odd. This thing was there. It was white, and it was acting like it was trying to hide. So I slowed down a bit and saw it throw something in my direction. Whatever it was hit the ground and bounced up. The creature took off running on two legs and then sort of morphed into running on all fours, and that's the best description I have. So I was curious. And we wanted to stop, but I knew my wife had to get to work. So on the way back home, my grandson asked what that thing was back there. Well, I had no idea he was awake and that he'd seen it. So I told him, I don't really know, but we're going to go back there and check it out. So I found an area to stop where I believed I'd saw it and walked a short way and quickly found what was thrown. It was a dead turtle with the shell mostly torn off. I quickly realized that it had been a little more accurate. It could have taken out a window and caused injury or even an accident. I'm always armed when I'm out, and I wanted to explore the area more, but not with my grandson. I felt danger, and I listened to my gut feeling. Now, the way this thing moved was not natural, as these things are 100% nefarious. No one can tell me different. I believe I know what they are, but I've heard a few stories. To say exactly what I believe is that, well, they're evil. There's more than what we grasp, obviously, but it is in no way, shape, or form an animal. I took my grandson back home, and my daughter was there to watch him, so I went back. Estimating the height, there's a 5.5-foot fence right where I saw it. I'm 6'3", and I feel to whatever I saw had to be 11 or 12 feet tall. Now that made me a little uneasy, and I'm glad I took my grandson home. I did manage to get inside the fencing and realize the ground had hidden holes that they would have seriously injured a person had they stepped into one. I have no idea how this thing managed to navigate that terrain the way it did. There are no visible tracks. Now, we talk about it in the open, and I don't see any reason not to, especially since my grandson saw it. But that reaffirms in my mind that it was there. Now, I wish I had more of a description, but it was instantly quick, insanely quick, when it took off.
Really?
So.
Cool story.
I do like the idea, though, that the grandson brings it up before he does.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, wait till grandma, you know, everything's done. Be like, hey, did you see something back there?
Yeah, like, I don't want to seem crazy. I'm waiting for somebody else to speak up first.
Exactly. You know? And, of course, like the adult, like, yeah. You know, I didn't say it first, but yeah, I saw something. Instead of turning and go, did you see? I like how that, without leading him in, I like how that was.
Yeah, that's really
throwing
cool story.
A turtle.
Yeah, but I guess you would, you know, use whatever you had around you.
Well, you know, we've had stories of seeing white Bigfoot before.
Mm-hmm.
But like the one was in town. We've had more. They were gray, light gray. But these all, but a 12 foot tall. So it also makes me wonder, of course, this guy's dead set on it being evil.
Yeah,
but it also,
kind of like the last person was talking about, these fey creatures can either be super helpful or they can be malicious if they have to be.
It also makes me wonder, though, what they saw, if it's one of those, what are they, like a watcher?
Yeah.
Right? If that could be what it is. It's, this one's, of course, a large white one running through, but I like how he says it ran on two legs and then morphed, kind of like it got down on all fours because it was probably faster.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Disturbing.
Yeah, very cool. Check this out. This is a pretty cool story. It says, we're driving home after a date near Silverton, Colorado. I don't remember exactly where we were, but this was about a couple years ago. We were driving along a back county road. No street lights. Just a one-lane road with a cornfield to the left and tall grass to the right. It was late and it was completely pitch dark out, and we could only see as far as our headlights would let us. My boyfriend was driving, and I was in the front passenger seat on my phone. He was singing along to the radio when all of a sudden, he stops. I look at him and his eyes go huge as he slams on the brakes. I drop my phone and I slam my hand on the dashboard to brace myself, which wasn't the best idea because now my wrist is hurting. I yelped and clutched my wrist. But when I looked up, my throbbing wrist left my mind and fear replaced the pain. We did not brake to complete stop, so we were still at least rolling. A coyote had stepped out of the grass on the right and was walking right in front of our truck. Now, I've studied wildlife in college, so I know my stuff. This coyote was wrong. It sent chills up my back. It was large, almost wolf-sized, but obviously a coyote. I didn't know what it was. Its coloration and features looked the same, only larger. The strange thing was that it was kind of stiff. At first, I thought that the animal was injured, but after a second, I realized that it almost looked like its skin was tight and it couldn't move very well, like someone was wearing a coat that was too small for them. The legs were strangely long and lanky and seemed almost to glide with small shudders with each step. As it crossed our truck, it stopped and turned its head to look at us. Its eyes were empty and human-like. It stared at us for what felt like hours, but in reality was only a few seconds. It continued to the cornfield on the other side of the road. Right before it walked into the field, it stopped. Then in a flash, it ran into the field. I wouldn't have thought anything of the encounter until what happened next. For the same spot that the Cody walked in, a split second later, a naked human man walked out. At that point, my boyfriend floored it, and I was screaming, "What is that? What is that?" It took 10 minutes of me screaming at him for my boyfriend to tell me, and he said only one word, "Skinwalker." He refused to talk about it and still finds it difficult for me to tell others about it. I know this seems crazy, but I'm telling you the truth, NR. Yeah. Well,
it's a shaman come out of there.
A shaman.
Holy moly.
A shape-shifting skinwalker walked across the road. You know, right there in Silverton, Colorado, that's where we just had that sighting of the possible Sasquatch from that train. Mm-hmm. You've been on that Silverton train there by Durango and all that. Yeah, man.
I don't even know what I would do if I witnessed something like that.
I would do what he did. I would step on the throttle and get out of there.
Get those tires spinning.
Yeah.
Get gone. Listen to this real quick.
Okay.
This is a short one, and I love the idea of this. This is in 2017, my son-in-law built my daughter a house on land that I'd given them, and I was his helper. So one afternoon, I took a load of scrap to the landfill in the adjacent county and arrived a little late, but just before closing. Now the sun was already going down because it was late fall, so it was setting early. And the guy operating the landfill seemed ready to leave and was really wanting me to hurry. So I told him I would, but I asked, "Hey, what's up?" See, I'd been there multiple times, but it had always been earlier in the day, and he had never seemed to be so nervous. So he said the funny bears came out after dark and got the scraps of food from the landfill. And I asked him, "What's a funny bear?" He said, "Well, they live in the woods. Some folks call them wood boogers." I told him I knew what those were. And had my October 1980 face-to-face encounter with these wood boogers or Bigfoot in North Carolina with one up a tree that whistled to get my attention. So the landfill is 2 miles west of this central Georgia river called Okmulgee.
Okmulgee? Sure, we'll go with it.
Okmulgee River in central Georgia?
I ordered that one time at an Asian restaurant.
How was it?
It was very good.
Isn't that squid?
Yeah, I think so.
How about so, yeah. It says, it's all woods and the swamp east of the river is where this took place. So I like it to the fact there's no prompting, there's no nothing. The dude's like, "Hey, can you hurry up? The big feet's come out after dark around here." But doesn't it make sense?
It does.
I mean, if there is, and there are obviously landfills out there like that, things that may not normally come out are going to come out. And if you can take something to a gifting tree and the big feets will grab that, then of course they're going to go to the landfill. It's easy pickings. Folks, let's take a quick break. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to drop some creepy knowledge on Kyle about cursed and haunted film sets. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. I bring this up, Brad, is because I know your family likes horror movies.
They do.
And I know because of that, you get roped into it a lot of times.
They'll watch the silliest movies. I mean, doesn't
don't
matter.
Use any names. This is your opinion. Don't hurt anybody's. Don't get anybody's feathers ruffled.
Okay, yeah, you're right. But they watch some of the stuff I would never watch. But then vice versa.
Yeah.
They don't understand why I'll sit there and watch Muay Thai for 4 hours straight. You know what I mean? They just they don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just leave him, Luke, and my wife. They're the horror buddies. They go and see everything. They just went to the theater and watched some new Thanksgiving horror movie. I don't even know what it was called. It's not Thanksgiving, but there is a movie called Thanksgiving. That's one with the murderous turkey. Have you seen this?
Oh, I have seen clips of this now that you bring
it up. There's Thanksgiving 1 and then 3 and then 4. There is no Thanksgiving 2. I don't know. I didn't know that either till Luke told me.
Hmm.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's good to know. We had to get a little fizzy. We had to pick his brain on it to get you up to speed on the whole deal. So out of, and of course now these horror movies, are the some of them I'm going to touch on have gone back since, you know, way before us kids, this whole thing, some creepy old movies. But doesn't it make sense that if you were going to be set up and shooting, I mean, you've already got that energy on the set, right? Like that's what you're there for.
Yeah.
And then they go to these creepy places already if they don't build the set. Have you ever seen the movie The Nun?
I have not, but I'm aware of it.
Okay, I've not watched it because I don't watch this kind of creepy stuff. But apparently...
Luke has an action figure of it.
Oh, great. Does he have The Nun?
Yeah.
So apparently, the director, his
now
name
I'm,
is...
Now, sorry, before yeah. you go on, I was scared of nuns as a kid.
Well, you should be.
No, they're scary. They'll hit you with rulers and stuff. They're mean.
You should be.
Anyways, but I've never seen the movie. I don't need to see the movie. I lived with it. That's right. Personally. Okay, go ahead.
So the director's name's Corin Hardy. And Mr. Hardy has claimed that he had not only a supernatural experience, but his first while on the set of this movie. So I've not seen it, but apparently there is a scene in there where there is like a 200-foot long, this big dark corridor, okay?
Okay.
And it's filled with crosses. And apparently, too, it's an actual underground Romanian fortress was where this was filmed.
Oh.
So this big...
So that sounds scary already.
It sounds scary already.
Transylvania, right? Romania, yeah. All that part of the world.
There's you a pic of it.
Seems very... Oh, that's a real pic?
Yeah, that's the pic of it from the movie. That's what it looks like, of that corridor with all those crosses. So this is how it all starts out on this. So according to Mr. Hardy, that he was down in this area in this pitch black cell that he was going to watch, I guess, the monitors that are all set up, right? So he's in this real dark room. So he just ducks in this room, so he's going to watch it. So while he's in there, he turns around behind him and a bunch of the crew members are sitting back there. They're watching it on the monitors as well, right? So we're all watching the monitors. He watches everything. The scene plays out the way he wants to see it. It works out perfect. He's like, great. He's happy. He turns back around to the crew. There was no crew in there. It was only him in the room. He said, there's nobody. They'd had to go right past him in order to get out.
Ah.
It was nobody. It was a room full of whatever that could have been. Romanian soldiers, people hiding in the underground. You have no idea what kind of spirits or specters were down there. But that's what he experienced on the set of The Nun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
Walking in there like, hey, no big deal, this whole thing. There is also, I've never seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I haven't either.
So see, good. We're not that big of horror fans after all, right?
Yeah, no. I know my family has, though.
Turns out there was a little poltergeist activity possible going on that set.
Really?
So there's a woman there, Laura Linney. She had some of these crazy things happen to her. Okay. Uh-huh. And Jennifer Carpenter on the set as well. Miss Carpenter says that she got woke up by hearing her radio turn on in the middle of the night.
Maybe it was just an alarm clock radio and somebody had it set could to, been.
Yeah, that's
to the radio option.
She doesn't talk about turning that part off, though.
Do people even use alarm clocks anymore? Because now everybody has a phone, right?
Yeah, no, of course not. Nobody does that.
I still have one.
An alarm clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because you're old. Anyhow, you've also got one in your pocket. So apparently Miss Carpenter goes on to say that the song not only came on, but it was blaring Pearl Jam and the song was Alive.
Ooh.
That's a good jam. A good jam. And then Miss Lenny said that she had the same thing happen to her. Very similar while working, while on the whole thing, I guess where they were staying, shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a radio, it was her television turned on.
Ah.
So that's pretty crazy.
That is poltergeist activity.
Right.
And again, right? With women, poltergeists seem to favor tormenting women. You notice that?
Yeah, they do seem to. And I don't understand
especially
it.
Especially young girls.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's very, very unsettling. So I've got to always bring up about Poltergeist because it's the original is one of my favorite films.
Yeah, it's good.
Right. I just love that whole thing. I didn't realize, and I had heard a bunch of things that had gone down, like Miss O'Rourke, Heather O'Rourke, the little girl that was in it, right? Because she passed away. She got sick and it passed away.
Several people, I think, passed away that were on that show.
Four.
Really?
Passed away real close to it. But they really... I'm not going to go out and say they were stretching to put those on there, but it's so what I'll tell you is this. So we know Miss O'Rourke passed away from being sick, right? She was, I forgot what she had. I think it was something, well, it, she was misdiagnosed. That's what it was. Misdiagnosed with Crohn's disease is what it, but it ended up, I forgot what it was. I think it was something that maybe with her blood. I don't remember, but she ended up passing away from a cardiac arrest from being so sick.
How much long, how much further after she filmed the movie? I mean, we're talking like a couple months. Or are we talking like
no, 10 years
later?
I believe the following year. So I think she was 6 years old in the first film. And so as it went on down through there, so I would have to go back and look. But no. She didn't pass away because she filmed all three.
Oh.
Okay. Remember, she films, she's in all three of them.
Is she? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yes. So she, of course, passed away from this. Then the woman that plays her, I believe it was her older sister, was named Miss Dominic Dunn. Dominic Dunn, she was murdered by her then husband or boyfriend. It was like in 82. So like right after the first one
that's
came
right,
out.
I do remember
she got
that.
Killed. There is a few other cast members, but it's not anything really wild if you think about it. What I mean is, do you remember the creepy old preacher Kane? Remember in Poltergeist 2?
Yes.
That guy, right?
Yeah.
That guy was creepy. That fella is named Julian. Is it Julian Beck, I believe, is who played him. Mr. Beck passed away, but he'd been diagnosed with stomach cancer. So he passed away not long after the movie, the second one came out. Hmm. I believe that's why he looked all creepy, right? And then the fella that played the shaman. Mr. Taylor, what's his name? Will Sampson. Will Sampson passed away, but he passed away from a heart-lung transplant. Something that, you know, happened, which is very bad. So, see, that's nothing really crazy that goes on there. But they believe, now this is what was believed, they believed that Spielberg's decisions, and of course, they, you know, they push it off on the director, and it probably was his decisions, who knows. But they push off a lot of the fact that they believe all this bad energy got brought onto the set from that decision of one thing. All the skeletons that you see them used in that movie weren't plastic because they cost too much.
So those are real.
They're all real because they're cheaper at the time than plastic skeletons.
Yeah, I could see that.
Right? So they're all, so they don't know where they came from, whose they were, what was disturbed, what wasn't. If they, maybe somebody's, you know, you're using the remains of someone that didn't want to be used in a real dark and eerie movie.
Yeah, well, you know, in the whole, I used to always think when I was first watching those films is, you know, the movie is based on these real estate landlords, right? That are, they're moving or just building a neighborhood on yes. top of a cemetery, right?
Yeah.
And it's the people that it's haunting the house that built on top of the cemetery they're in. I always used to think, you know, that's got to happen more often than you think. Not like it does in the movies, but on a long enough timeline, especially in places like Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't there be like bones pretty much on every square foot of the earth over there?
You would think so.
Because it's so old.
Yeah, you would think so.
So like lots of times when you see ghosts, maybe it's because your dwelling is built on top of an ancient cemetery. There's little tiny cemeteries all over our county.
Oh, yeah.
Like you take these county roads.
They're everywhere.
There'll be little ones. And even on private ranches, like there'll be just a little 1 acre plot and it'll have like family burial mm-hmm. grounds out there. So it's got to be all around. I used to always think, like when I saw my sighting hunting, it was referred to us later. I didn't know it at the time that was a Native American burial ground up there. And I used to always think, well, that must explain what that orb was.
Whatever that was.
It was the spirit of a Native American. Of course, as a child, I was just scared.
Yeah.
Now, if I saw it, I'd be like, hey, look, bro, no hard feelings.
Yeah. You know where the big ones are?
Yeah. Could you send them this way?
Can you scare one this direction?
Can you bless this arrow? Something?
Yeah, right? Something? My eyes, something. Help me out here. That's funny. Just so you know, Miss O'Rourke was 12 when she passed away.
Mm.
So 6 years of filming those three films.
Wow.
And all that before she passed away.
But see, nothing happened to Steven.
Yeah.
He's had nothing but success since then.
There you go.
So, you know.
But he wasn't on the film.
No, he wasn't.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. But why is it horror movies? Why is it the bad energy? Is that what causes a lot of this? Now, here's what's funny. There's not many of them on here. It's not like it happens to every one of them. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, think about The Crow. The Crow's not a horror movie. Look what happened there.
Yeah, that's true. That was just like a freak accident, though,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But it's still, or is it cursed? Is it the Lee family curse? Remember, they talked about that being part of it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I know Bruce died
under mysterious circumstances. The guy took aspirin and it killed him or something.
Yeah, something wild.
Something that you wouldn't expect. And then his son was actually, it was a a piece of mesh, shard from the blank in the pistol that killed him. That would happen.
Something, yeah.
Put a hole in his heart or something. Well, I don't know. You know what one of my favorite horror movies of all time is, or at least one I think is probably one of the scariest?
What's that?
The Titanic.
Just sinking out there?
Yeah, well, think about it. All the men die in that movie. Oh, it's terrible.
That's true.
It's that a horror movie. Wow. Chicks think of it as like a romantic movie. I watch it and I'm thinking, this is a horror movie.
Yeah, man, this poor guy is going to freeze to death in the water. Yeah. Did you have one as a child that really freaked you out?
Yeah, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
I remember that really freaked me out. Because
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
What was it, 82? 81? 82. I think it's 82.
Yeah, so I must have been,
the remake.
Very young.
But, not the remake of the remake, but the remake.
The remake, yeah. The original one in the 50s, the black and white one. It's not scary at all. But I remember, like, when that guy's head comes off and then spider legs grow out of it, as like a seven-year-old child, I mean, that freaked me out.
Just like straight panicking.
My parents had no, it's crazy to me. You'd think they would, like, not let me watch that stuff. They're just like, fine. As long as there's no nudity in it, we're good.
Well, yeah, like, I hear people talk now about how they were raised and how, you know, like, oh, they weren't allowed to watch like rated R movies until like, you know, they were 16, 17, 18 years old or whatnot, you know, and they would talk about going over to a friend's house that was allowed and sneaking and watching. I don't remember having any of that.
Well, like I said, I never put restrictions on Luke. Like the first time I eased him into horror movies, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, it doesn't bother him. So do you want to watch this one? The moment I saw it was scaring him or he was waking me up in the middle of the night because he was having nightmares, I'd be like, that's it. You're not watching any more horror movies because
you can't handle it. So you basically cultivated this.
I didn't. My wife, I think, did.
Okay, here we go. Passing the blame.
But he wasn't scared of anything like that. But then it could be something really silly that would terrify him. Like he could watch American Werewolf in London, the transformation scene, everything as like a five-year-old wouldn't affect him. But then you'd watch like a cartoon of like a shark and that would scare him. And I'm like, it's not even remotely scary.
Yeah.
But I mean, you never know. Their brain works different.
I just got to watch and I'm thinking back to like some of the craziest, like the Michael Myers.
Yeah.
The original Halloween, when I saw that, the thing that bothered me, of course, was the mask, right?
Yeah.
That was the one thing, the Will Shatner painted white. Big eye holes cut out. That just that face is what bothered me the whole thing. It wasn't anything frightening. I don't ever remember being frightened of like a monster aside from Jaws. Jaws really shook me up. I didn't like that.
Right.
I still don't like it.
Yeah. Mike Myers is scared because it's a real possibility. Yes. Serial killers are real.
Yes.
I liked the movie at that time because I thought Jamie Lee Curtis was hot back in those days, which he was pretty much then.
Oh, yeah. Like in True Lies, Smoke Show. Show in True Lies. Yeah. Look, you've seen The Exorcist. I mean, we have.
That's a great one.
We've all seen that. Did you know there was a fire on that set?
No.
I had no idea. Apparently, and I've used apparently a lot. What if I'm supposed to? Allegedly, or guess what? There was a fire on the set. So in 1973, it sounds like it burnt to the ground, except the bedroom that the whole thing was filmed in.
Yeah, and the girl, she never really went on to do anything else after that.
Linda Blair?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I don't think she went on to do anything. I think that really messed her up.
It would mess anybody up being part of that, wouldn't it?
I don't know. It obviously had an effect on her, you know.
It has its effect on me just watching it. What about, here's another one that I had forgotten about.
What's the little figurine that they find in Africa?
Oh,
Pazuzu.
That's it.
Yeah. Right, remember? That's what brings the whole darn curse back.
Aren't you going to get a Pazuzu tattoo?
No, but that's why people are like, hey, I got a cool thing I'm going to send you. I'm like, I don't want it. Because then it's going to curse me or the studio. I don't want that. Send me stuff like cupcakes.
Exactly. You know I don't need the remake of Pazuzu.
Yeah.
So here's another one that I had totally forgotten about until started looking into this, okay?
Yeah.
The Omen.
Oh, The Omen.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I've seen that.
With the little boy that's like the son of the devil.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Yes, it's been a hot minute.
But this one was back. I remember going back and watching it because this came out in 76.
Yeah, I remember that. That and like Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. So Gregory Peck was in The Omen, and he's great. He's great. Well, apparently he was on a plane. Here's an apparently again. So Gregory Peck's on a plane. One of the riders is on a plane. It gets struck by lightning while they're filming this thing.
Huh.
So it gets hit by lightning. Stuntmen. There was a stuntman that got attacked during the rabid dog scene that the dog actually tore off part of the protective gear. All accidental. It's really funny accidental. One of the zookeepers. Now, here's the problem. This got ugly. One of the zookeepers was on the set to help keep the baboons under control and have all that crazy stuff. Well, apparently he was mauled to death.
Man, see, they should have hired somebody like Joe Exotic to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, come on now. There is tons of this set actually sounds cursed.
Cursed or just like they weren't taking very good precautions. Wasn't that like, what's his name that just got in trouble for accidentally shooting that person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was his?
Alec Baldwin.
Baldwin. Yeah.
It was because they were using cheaper services, like whatever the people are called that are the weapons, the arms specialist. They were using the armorers. They were using a cheaper route, and that's why it happened. So are these movie sets cursed, or is it just because they're going super cheap? They're not getting the best experts.
Well, the special effects director and his assistant, John Richardson and Liz Moore, right after the filming was completed, were involved in a very, very serious car accident where Miss Moore was decapitated.
Oh, geez.
Which is like in Horrible. The movie. Just like in the movie.
Does that happen in the movie? Yes. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
Huh. Dude.
Okay.
How? I'm telling you.
So it's prophetic.
What about the Twilight Zone movie?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the whole thing around, you know, Vic Morrow and a couple of kids. They were killed because of the helicopter on that thing.
Yeah, I used to love the Twilight Zone movies because I liked the creature on the wing.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of the real-life gremlin stories you hear from like World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people describe similar things like that.
Now,
which I think is crazy because, you know, in the movie Gremlins, you know, the guy goes to, I don't remember, is he in China or is he just in Chinatown? I don't remember. I think he's in Chinatown in San Francisco or something like that, and he buys the Mogwai.
Yes.
But there really are cases in World War II when there was these like Chinese or Japanese shops and stuff, and these U.S. soldiers would claim that there would be these gremlins that would, you know, mess up their trucks, mess up their jeeps, their airplanes.
How wild is that?
Ah, man, it's crazy. I don't know if it's real. You know, these are just stories, but I'd like to think that it's real. It's pretty cool. And I wonder if those real life accounts is what inspired the movie.
It very possibly could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've talked. Yeah. Have you seen, now you're a big Stephen King fan. Have you seen Maximum Overdrive?
I have.
I enjoyed the book, right? Yeah, the book was cool. The movie's pretty cool, but this is wild. Laura Harrington, which is one of the actresses in the movie, said that she always felt like somebody was going to die on that set and that the whole thing was cursed. There was a bunch of near-death experiences on there for people that were like almost got killed. Stuntmen almost got killed. A few cameramen almost got killed. Hurricane hit the set. I believe they were talking about like security, that where it was going, like people were getting into it. They would have to take people off the set. They were like, this whole thing was what we refer to in the trades as snake bit from the start, right?
Yeah,
like,
because they're going super cheap, right?
Yeah. And it could be. Yeah, it could simply have been that. It could be simple things. But also, this is what I think about. What were the standards in the 80s?
Yeah, that's true.
Safety standards, equipment standards. Like a lot of this stuff was still in its infancy as, you know, movie production progressed. And they start making more of these boom cameras mounted to cars. You've seen those. We've watched those videos where those things where the guys are racing around and the cameras are on them. And to get all these cool shots, you had to invent all these things. Well, there are going to be failures.
Yeah.
So how far are you willing to push it? So if the movie you're on is pushing it, then there may be a little more failures.
Was it Emilio Estevez in that movie?
Yes, he was.
It was like, Emilio!
Yes, he was. Now, here's one that caught me off guard that I had not heard. One of Kyle's favorite films. I've watched him cry every time it is over. Patrick Swayze's Ghost.
Fantastic. Got me into pottery.
Right? Heck yeah, it did. Heck yes, it did. Got me into pottery and short-haired brunettes. well, according to some reports, they believe that on that set, there was a spirit. Because people reported hearing footsteps, continual footsteps, and child's laughter. Ooh. So just so you know, the film was shot on the same sound stage where Miss Heather O'Rourke had filmed her scenes for the Poltergeist.
Oh, films. Yeah. That makes sense. Sound stage, yeah.
So, I mean, what if, right? What if she was there?
That's true. And now Patrick Swayze's a ghost.
And dude, I would like to hang out with Ghost Patrick Swayze.
I'd like to hang out with any type of Patrick Swayze. He was awesome.
Patrick Swayze was awesome. If you were going to be hanging out with Ghost Patrick Swayze, which Patrick Swayze would you hang out with? Roadhouse Patrick Swayze or Point Break Patrick Swayze?
I'd have to go with Jed from Red Dawn.
Oh, Jed from Red Dawn would be good too. Yeah, that would be a good Patrick Swayze one. Outstanding. Yeah. I don't know. Dirty Dancing Patrick Swayze seemed to have it together, too.
That's true.
That fool could move.
Yeah, you're the only other person I know that can dance that well.
Dude, I used to, but I got to get my hips limbered back up again. I got to start stretching to see if I'm going to be able to pull that move off again for some upcoming weddings that we have popping up. I can't imagine. I can't imagine being on a set where you have to get your job done. Right? Yeah, like, this is what we're doing. This is what we have to get done. And then start having things happen to where you literally start becoming a little creeped out.
Yeah, like, I think about that a lot when having nothing to do with acting or filming of movies. But I think about, like, these stories you hear of, like, these security guards that have to walk this, like, abandoned asylum at night to make sure no vagrants are breaking in and stuff like that. To me, that would be terrifying. It's, like, not worth the money.
No.
You know, I'm not going to sit out here and you see the lights coming on and they go up there and there's no one there. Like, I don't need that kind of aggravation in my life. So to me, that would be horrific.
So this, I can't, so think about being on your job and these odd occurrences start happening that are falling in line with what you're doing. So you're there to shoot and tell this creepy story. I'm going to talk about The Conjuring with Ed and Lorraine Warren. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they've made all these movies with about their characters in it and all of these things. So you go into that movie, The Conjuring, there's a story that tells it. One part of that story where the Perrone family, the family in the movie that it's all based on, they've been too afraid. They didn't even want to go around the movie. They didn't want to be involved with any of that stuff for everything that they'd gone through. So they finally decided, you know what? We're going to come down there. So the crew, there's been multiple crew report about this, that they finally come to visit. Crew members said all of a sudden, all the strong winds start swirling behind where the Perrone family's standing.
Hmm.
Just thrashing. It's coming all around them. Everything's blowing around there. But the Perrones were standing by a little set of trees, right? Just standing there. They said the tree limbs, the leaves weren't even moving on the trees.
Oh, yeah.
The wind wasn't affecting anything but right around. But where they stood, it's like they're in a globe of invulnerability.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine seeing that.
That would be a little bit off-putting. You'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is it blowing hard right here but not at all over here?
Right where they are. They said a few days after that went down, everybody was a little up on edge, okay? Well, the director, Mr. James Wan, was in there hanging out in his office, said his dog starts barking like we've seen him do, just randomly over in a corner. They also talk about what he saw looked like three swipes, like one of the co-stars and one of the stars of the movie said that on her computer screen, there was like swipes across it to where like you could see fingers, like it looked like it drug across there. There are endless stories. It seems, well, let's take The Ring. I don't know if there are going to be, if these stories come from real fact, is I guess what I'm trying to get at. When the people write the stories that are based on true events, do you think those are more apt to draw the ire of the spirits or the benevolent, whatever, as it comes into it?
Yeah, probably.
It feels that way, right?
Yeah.
They even talk about on the set of The Ring, one of the sets flooded. Just out of the blue, flooded.
Hmm.
Just like in the movie.
I think I saw the first one. I don't think I saw the sequels.
I don't think I've seen any of The Ring, to be honest. Was it pretty good that you remember?
It was okay. I think I was on a date or something. This was a long time ago.
You better be a dating with your wife.
No, it wasn't with my wife. Oh, I think it came out before I was with my wife.
Does she know this?
That I was on a date with somebody
That's
else before I knew
she
it?
She hasn't watched the movie with you. That's why, right there.
Mm.
That's exactly why. There have been, and what's funny is if y'all start doing any research on these, there's really only like a small set of movies that had this stuff happen to it. Like The Exorcism of Emily Rose, we talked about Insidious. Insidious had crazy stuff happen to it too.
Really?
Where they talk about hearing a buzzing sound from like an unoccupied floor and it could only be set off by hand where they were filming, okay?
Yeah.
And it can only be set off by hand. They'd go up there, it'd be buzzing. They'd get everything set, go back to do it. Boom, it would come back on. They're like, why does this keep going on? A bunch of crew members had even talked about not feeling well while on set. Now, I often wonder, too, could that be something that had to do with electrical current? Could it have been a minor leak of something that may have upset everybody? I know I'm looking for, but what's more accurate? Or, you know, like, what's more apt to happen? Are you going to be sick from what your surroundings? Are you going to be sick from something that's on the set? Because I think the idea of being sick from an entity makes more sense than when you try to look around and try to find all this influence that could influence everybody the same way.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Because some people aren't affected by certain things as others are.
Yeah, it's weird.
Even talking about the whole three-finger swipe deal. So John Leonetti was the director of Annabelle.
Maybe it was three fingers because it was an alien.
An alien. Well, that's what Mr. Leonetti talks about, is he claims that there was on set multiple times in a window, different windows, but three fingers drawn in the dust. Said like three-fingered streaks had been drawn in the dust.
Yeah, that's an alien.
Well.
Or somebody missing their fingers.
Exactly. There's so many creepy deals where they start talking about a demon. People start seeing a demon. Here's this one. Here's a quote that says, this is from Annabelle. It says, "We shot in an amazing old apartment building near Koreatown, and we had some really funky stuff go on. In particular, the first day that the demon was shooting in full makeup, we brought him up in the elevator. He walks out, walks around to the green room to where we're holding the talent, and just as he walks under, the entire glass light fixture falls down upon him. In the script, the demon kills the janitor in the hallway."
Really?
And then the glass falls on the demon in the hallway.
Huh.
So yeah. Just little strange things that keep popping up. Now, there's other ones, of course, we've talked about that you start looking into action movies. Like, I can't remember the name of the fella that was driving the car in the original Rambo series. The Rambo movie, First Blood.
Yeah.
And when he jumps, when you watch that scene, when he jumps the railroad tracks as John Rambo is running on the motorcycle.
Right.
The fella driving Brian Dennehy's car, when it jumps the railroad tracks and hits the ground, breaks his back at the moment that thing hits the ground.
Really?
I believe he's the one that they ended up, he designed harnesses, a bunch of stuff because of that. But you think about that. It's really not a cursed stage. It's just the fact that it was in the shooting movies, especially action movies, you can go back through the days. It was the Wild West.
Yeah, those stuntmen got paid a lot.
Yeah. Look up Yakima Canutt, folks. If y'all want to see, I've talked about him. If you want to see a crazy stuntman, Yakima Canutt, look up Dar Robinson. Dar Robinson was another amazing stuntman. Dar Robinson is the man that invented the little thing that allows the guys to free fall. I believe he jumped off the Space Needle. And it just ties around your leg, like it's just a little harness that goes around your leg, and it uses centrifugal force to slow it down.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I never even heard of these guys.
Oh, yeah. Dar Robinson was the guy. He played one of the albino stuntmen, but he was, well, the main one is they're looking for Gary Busey in Lethal Weapon when they're in the back chasing around him and Danny Glover, and they shoot the guy, and he falls at the end of the chains.
Oh, yeah.
That's Dar Robinson using the machine that he had invented.
He
ended, of course, getting killed. Like, it's the same. But little things like that, you start looking for it. It's not necessarily in all the horror movies as much as it is a little bit in every movie. We just seem to stick it into horror movies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand.
There you go, folks. Some little horror movie stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this bad boy up, and we'll talk about what we have upcoming. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Getting ready for birthday time.
It's almost that time. We're going to be doing a little arcading.
Yes, yeah, you and Luke. Birthdays are only 2 days apart, so very cool.
Wait.
He's pumped up. I'm pumped up because I like going to those vintage arcades like that. See, I think the younger kids like Luke, they don't get it. It doesn't mean as much to them because
I agree.
They have amazing games at home on their PC. I mean, we didn't even have PCs in our homes.
Gosh, no.
And the consoles are so much better. Back in the day, if you wanted the ultimate experience, you had to go to an arcade and you'd play like Altered Beast or something like that. Shinobi. And I remember, you know, back then it was a lot cheaper, but I remember in particular, only a few blocks away from where this place is, my mother worked at this guy's office. It was a real estate office. And I don't remember why, but there's a couple times a year where I would have to go up there to her office for a couple hours. And there's like a 7-Eleven, like a couple blocks away. And she'd give me a big sack of quarters. And so would he, her boss. And I'd go down to that 7-Eleven and they only had like three or four arcade games there, but I'd spend hours there. Do you remember the old Pizza Inn?
Yes.
How you could get pizza, but the table itself had a video game in it.
Yeah.
They have those there.
Oh.
And so like, there's all this nostalgia that the young kids like Luke, he just doesn't get it. And like Luke has no interest at all in pinball. Where I love pinball.
If I could have any
arcade game in my man cave, I would want an amazing pinball game.
I would love to have a pinball machine.
Because there's a skill to
it. Legit big pinball machine.
Yeah, yeah. Big heavy duty ones. Yeah. I mean, they have everything there that you're gonna love it.
I cannot wait.
It's really cool. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. We're not going anywhere this year for Thanksgiving. So I've got it lucky. We're doing it at our house. We're not having a bunch of in-laws come over, nothing. It's just going to be us.
Perfect.
So I'm digging that.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
That will be ideal.
The rest of the family is going to be in trouble because I'm usually the one that does all the carving of the turkeys and the hams.
Not today.
Nope.
Not this time.
Yep. They have to figure it out on their own.
He's taking some time off, folks. He's not doing it. Bro, do you remember, this has been a while back, when I talked about the big gray man in Scotland?
Yeah.
On Ben McDoy.
Yeah, no, I've heard several sightings of climbers in and around that area having strange experiences, disembodied voices, things touching them. You know, audible stuff, strange phenomenon. Yeah, why?
Listen, Salon got this and sent this over. Listen to this. It says, just found your site and read with interest the page on Ben McDoy and the feeling of a spectral being. I had the exactly same experience on that mountain 23 years ago. I was walking or mountain biking with a friend in Scotland and decided to park at Coach Water and cycle and climb up to the car.
What kind of water is that? I'm a big fan of fizzy water. I've tried them with everything.
I think.
Okay, I'll look for it.
It's on Ben McDoy. And said it was a bright day in May when we left on mountain bikes to go to the top. And at that point, we had no idea that day would leave a lasting impression on me. And until I came across your site, I thought we were the only ones to have ever had such an encounter. It took some hours crossing small streams and hillocks before we came to the foothills of Ben McDoy. We cycled and pushed the bikes as far up the mountain as we could and then decided to leave the bikes and make our way up to the cairn as quickly as possible, as it was quite late in the day. And as we pushed on to the glorious weather, it wasn't bright sunlight, but it also wasn't murky or dismal or really overcast. It was extremely cold, but we were wrapped up warm and the views were fantastic. Now, on reaching the cairn, we decided to have a small snack to aid our return journey. And whilst we sat at the cairn, I heard a call and looked over to see a golden eagle performing twists and turns. It was everything you could ever want to see in Scotland. Beautiful views from the top, a golden eagle, more than we could have ever wished for. We were ecstatic and on this high. Finishing our snacks of Mars bars and bananas, heck yeah, we decided to get ready for the hike back and get on the bikes to journey back to the car. It was here that the atmosphere changed, and not for the better. From being on high, all of a sudden, we'd be aware of a heavy atmosphere that had descended upon us for no reason. We turned for home and started to walk, and I had the uncanny feeling something was following us. It was a feeling of real dread. I kept looking behind me, but there was nothing there. At the same time, I heard footsteps following us, keeping just behind me. We walked a little faster, and then I stopped suddenly. And lo and behold, there came from nowhere two distinct footsteps that stopped directly behind me. I was too terrified to look, as I had an uncanny feeling that whatever was causing this feeling was huge. I cannot explain why I had the mental impression that this entity was a giant. Now, this will sound silly, but I had the impression of a giant ape-like man. Now, I'm not saying Bigfoot, Almer, or Sasquatch, but that was the impression I was given. At this point, I took off with my friend at a rate of knots that was dangerous to do because of the shale underfoot. But we didn't care. The faster we ran, the more the feeling of dread came over us, as if it was giving chase. It wasn't until we reached the bikes and rode off that the feeling started to dissipate. I was physically shaking and had no wish to ever return to that mountain. Thanks for your sight. I know after all these years I wasn't going mad. Thank goodness, PK.
Yeah.
So again, sharing the stories has actually helped PK.
Yeah, no, I've heard similar stories up near that area for whatever reason. But, you know, disembodied voices, like I mentioned, things like that, the third man factor where they feel like there's a presence around them.
But why specifically a giant, like in that area?
And I don't know.
I mean, that's everybody reports like seeing or feeling. Is that a fae portal?
It
is that
be.
What that feeling is? Is that an enchantment put on that area that it makes everybody feel that way unless you're fae?
Maybe, you know, it's definitely, you know, the stories of boulder fields.
It's like a security
always seems
system.
To have the fae tied to it. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, and I don't know what this person saw either. Check this out. It says, I would say around June 2013 in Salina, Utah, I was walking under a street lamp with a friend. He was talking, and I was looking at the stars as we walked. We walked under a street lamp that was also shining light upwards. Plain as day, I saw a flying humanoid. It had a head, body, arms, and legs almost like a human, and it flew above the street lamp, flying around 10 feet from the edge of the asphalt road, 30 to 40 off the ground, flying in the opposite direction as we were walking. The creature was traveling south on the west side of the road. The height, I would say, is about the size of an adult human. Its arms, legs, and body were athletic-looking, but looked like it hardly had any muscles at all. It had five fingers, like us, but had only three toes. The toes narrowed down to a point, like a cone or a triangle. It had two wings, one coming off of each shoulder. The length of the wing was about the length of the creature's arms. The wings were narrow and had very little surface area. I did not see the creature flap its wings in order to fly. Its wings looked too small to support its body. But the body was parallel to the ground and was elongated, like it was laying down while flying. It had small hooks, or hook-like things, that came off from the creature's leg, mid-calf area, and faced outward. I did not see any breasts or any genitals. I don't know what sex it was. Hopefully it does not reproduce, but I'm sure that it can. I've told many people about what I saw that night. Most people don't believe me, of course, although I did run into a guy that saw one other than me. I'd say the same species of creature, at least. He was camping also around Salina, Utah. It flew down, swooped at him, and made a crazy noise. Thanks for all you do, S.E. So it was another one of these bizarre stories of the flying humanoids, you know, that Ken Gerhard wrote a whole book on.
Oh, yeah.
And again, you don't see the wings flapping for whatever reason. They have wings, but it just enables the ability to fly. And, you know, we talk about, oh, somebody saw an owl, or they saw that, you know, how would you misidentify a gargoyle-like creature?
You can't.
I wouldn't think so.
Any rational human being isn't going to be like, oh, well, that's just another bird. I mean, you instantly, I was thinking about this a few shows ago, and it just jogged my memory again, is I'd always brought up Gate.
The Gate?
No. Gate is in.
But the Gate is a good movie.
That is a good movie, yeah. That's the one where the kid go crazy and the demons come out of the backyard.
Yeah.
No, is how you can tell something is either what you consider normal or abnormal by how it moves. Mm-hmm. Like human bodies have a certain gait in the way that they move, and you can see a silhouette and know that's a human being. You can see a silhouette and know that's a horse moving, or that like a shadow, that's a white-tailed deer or a dog or something. But it's instantly when we see something like that that's in the shape of one thing, but not moving that way, like the not deer or like the coyote that you talked about early on. It's almost that. There is no gait with these humanoids. They all seem to move like paper airplanes. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's like they just drop down and fly. They all move and swoop. And, but like we're talking about, their wings aren't flapping. It's like they're not having a physical interaction with our atmosphere or what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like they do. Yeah. I'm not meaning like they're just passing through stuff, but I mean, like there's no restriction in the way that they move like that. It's like, It's like they're just controlling it with their thought. It's not physically being propelled at all.
It's like it's something trying to mess with you is what it feels like to me. Like that's why it seems ludicrous.
Yes.
It's something trying to pull off something that they think that it would think would frighten you. Like maybe it can read your thoughts. It knows that you saw a movie one time. It knows that you're scared of gargoyles secretly. Or when you play Dungeons and Dragons, you're terrified of manticores or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what it comes. That's how it manifests itself.
This is also how I kind of feel like it shows that it's feeding off your emotion. Emotion's the one thing you can drain from people and it will replenish for you to drain again. Right. It's kind of like blood, except you can never pull enough emotion away from somebody. So it's one of those things.
The old psychic adage, vampires, exactly. Energy vampires.
That's what I feel like it's fey. Because it feels like they feed off of that. So like you said, is maybe when people, but then there's people that have seen them that have never even heard or know anything about flying humanoids that witness it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they just inherently know an unsettling form, or has this thing been harvesting its energy from people for generations, hence where these gargoyles came from? Or are those gargoyles there to keep something else at bay?
We should do an episode just on energy vampires.
I'm down.
Remember that show? What was the movie where they were in space? Life Force. Remember that? Oh, with the like space vampires? Yes. Yeah, that's a pretty cool. I'll have to go check that
out. Colin Robinson's still my favorite energy vampire.
Absolutely. Yep, yep. That's the a
best.
Good show.
He's the best.
Well, if you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, or you'd like to wish Cam or Luke happy birthday, you can email the show at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. Kim, other than playing at Cidercade, what else has your family got planned for you and your birthday? Do you have a special birthday meal that you have somebody create for you? Do you go out to a specific place?
No.
Do you change it up?
No. See, I change it up sometimes, yeah. Like there's certain places we'll go eat or whatnot, but I change it up. I don't want gifts. I like to just have the family together. We all just sit down and eat, talk. Like everybody just takes a little time, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I like. I don't know what they've got planned besides Cidercade. That's going to be, I'm just going to lump onto that and use that for my party fun.
Yeah, I already got you a gift. So. No,
yeah, that's right. And it was awesome. Thank you very much. I haven't got to use it yet, but it's going to be used. It's going to be used. My brother brought me something very nice, very lightweight and very sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Montana knife. What's it? The Speed Goat.
The Speed Goat. Yeah.
I cannot wait. So yeah, that's what I've got going on to see how all that stuff works out. We'll fill our bellies and go party for Thanksgiving and have all that stuff. But that's about it. And you already said you're just staying at home. So
yep.
Feels pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. Before we get out of here, let's thank our sponsors.
I have got a good one, folks. Y'all heard me the last time. All right. Uncommon Goods. You want to really get an amazing gift that's going to make everybody go, I want that guy to have my name next year. Or I want that old gal right over there to give me something nice next year. Just go to uncommongoods.com/expanded. That's where you're going to get 15% off, okay? 15% off. uncommongoods.com/expanded.
And what about HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com/expandedfree and use the code expandedfree for free breakfast for life. That's one breakfast item per box while subscription is active. Just go to HelloFresh.com/expandedfree and use our promo code expandedfree. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And the one that keeps Kyle and I pumping, keeps us going forward, a little AG1, folks. Like I said before, with this kind of weather coming up, with being around all these different people, you want to up your immune system. You want to really pack yourself full of vitamins and nutrients. It's real easy. Real easy to try. You're going to get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to drinkag1.com/expanded. That's drinkag1.com/expanded. Check it out.
Yeah, and we were recently on we did an interview with some guys called, I'll save it. But we did a very interesting interview.
It was great.
With some good guys that we are now friends with. And so that'll be appearing shortly. I don't know the exact date, but it'll be within the next couple of weeks. So
yes.
Be looking forward to that. I hope everybody out there has a wonderful Thanksgiving. For everybody else, please be safe. Everyone, take care. That's about all the time we have for this episode. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.